Welcome back to This Week on the Kenai with the top stories from Wednesday. Here's KSRM's Nick Sorrell.
The results of the Alaska primary elections were officially certified on Sunday, and aside from a few candidates who have since dropped out, most local races have remained largely unchanged. In Senate D, Republican Senator Jesse Bjorkman and Republican Representative Ben Carpenter, who opted to vacate his House District 8 seat earlier this year to make a run at Bjorkman's Senate seat, each gained several hundred votes between election night and the certification. Bjorkman's lead over Carpenter is now 4% of the total ballots cast, up from 2.7% on election night. Tia Wagner, a Democratic candidate from Sterling, took about 13% of the vote, while Alaska Independence Party candidate Andy Cizik, who has since dropped out of the race, received just under 3%. In the most heavily contested race, House District 6, incumbent Republican Representative Sarah Vance holds an edge over her challengers after receiving just under 2,000 votes. Nonpartisan candidate Brent Johnson follows with just under 1,600 votes. Challenger Alana Greer received 790 votes, but has since announced her withdrawal from the race, giving Johnson her endorsement. With Greer's votes, Johnson would overtake Vance, at least in primary votes, with 51% of the total. The closest race after the primaries is in Representative Carpenter's district, District 8, where two newcomers are vying for the soon-to-be vacant seat. Borough Assemblymember Bill Elam trails John Hillier by just 54 votes. Hillier has 1,652, while Elam has 1,598. House District 7 also saw minimal change since primary election night. Incumbent Republican Representative Justin Ruffridge sits just under 60% of the vote total against former Republican Representative Ron Gillum, who has just over 40%. Gillum is attempting to retake the seat he lost to Ruffridge in 2022. Alaska's Division of Public Health announced 18 organizations in the state that will get grants as part of the National Opioid Settlement. The grants will help fund programs to help communities address the state's increasingly deadly opioid epidemic. Kachemak Bay Recovery Connection, an organization based in Homer that provides resources to people in recovery, is one of the grant recipients. Willie Dunn, the organization's vice president, who is in long-term recovery himself, said the $142,742 grant will fund peer support specialists, people with lived experience trained in support. Dunn said the grant will also allow the organization to open a physical space in downtown Homer and to expand the reach of their mobile unit to communities further from Homer like Seldovia and Port Graham. Set Free Alaska, another organization receiving $285,714 from the settlement funds, is a Christian organization that serves Alaskans in recovery regardless of religion. They have outpatient centers in Wasilla and Homer. The funds came from settlements with Johnson & Johnson and three major pharmaceutical distributors, companies that contributed to the opioid epidemic nationally and in Alaska. According to the Division of Public Health, the grants represent just under $3 million annually for 3 years, totaling about $8.5 million. The money Alaska has from settlements is tiny compared to the real cost of the opioid epidemic in the state. In a recent report, the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority estimated that the opioid crisis cost Alaska about $400 million in just 1 year. That estimate factors in loss of productivity due to addiction and loss of life for the hundreds of Alaskans who die every year from opioid overdose. The state of Alaska joined an amicus petition before the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn a case that threatens the energy industry of states by how the National Environmental Policy Act was applied. The case is as much about federalism and state sovereignty as it is about environmental law, the brief states. The National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, requires federal agencies to assess the environmental effects of proposed actions and allow public input. At issue is a proposed railroad in Utah that would transport crude oil to the interstate network. The Surface Transportation Board authorized the construction, but the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. vacated it, citing the need to consider potential downstream environmental effects of the line, some 1,536 miles away, including in states with already established and highly regulated oil industries such as Louisiana and Texas. There is an absurdity in a federal judge overturning a federal transportation agency's decision to authorize a short rail line in Utah because the agency did not consider the environmental effects of crude oil production in Louisiana and Texas. This is NEPA run amok, said Alaska Attorney General Treg Taylor. Weaponizing NEPA in this way harms any state that depends on the energy industry for its economy, which strikes a nerve in Alaska. Find out more by visiting this article at RadioKenai.com. Coming up, we'll take a look at the stories from Thursday. This is KSRM News.